This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Star Wars fans, episode 27 of Tatooine Sons. This week we share our thoughts on the box office numbers for Solo and whether this is bad for Star Wars overall. Next, we each share our favorite Easter egg from the latest film. And finally, we ask, what if Han and Kira switch places in the opening scenes of Solo's Star Wars story? It's risky, but it's worth a try. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Choo-choo Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in, and if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you're missing out on some awesome, like, merchandise and stuff.
Oh, that's not good.
Hey, I was pressed, alright?
You were, well, come on, I mean.
I'm running out of ideas, okay?
Why don't you explain why you're all excited about amazing Star Wars.
Well, two reasons. One, I just got this awesome shirt for my birthday. Which is basically Boba Fett on a playing card. So it's like,
and since Sam is all into magic with playing card magic, it was like his favorite character and his favorite thing.
And then I just got a dueling saber, like an official one from. Can I say it?
Yeah, they are free.
Shout out Ultra Sabers! I just got a one of their mystery box sabers. I'm
cool.
Super happy with it. I lit it up and it was green, which is my favorite color. So I'm like super pumped about that.
Awesome. Okay. Cool.
See? And, of course, you can have Star Wars without Bizarre Father figures, so on that note, here's my dad's bow tie Jedi guy.
It's okay. We're not on, like, a time limit.
You don't need to rush.
Okay. How's it going, guys? It's a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
It's the first time we've ever recorded our podcast on a Saturday evening. It's been a crazy few days.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
You know? But, hey,
We
did it. We're doing it. We're going to get it done. And we're having some mic issues that we really are stumped by right now. And so if it doesn't sound quite as much quality as it has on previous episodes, I apologize. And we were going to continue to try to figure out what it is. It's stumping us right now. So anyway, that's what's going on with us. How are you, BB Nate?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm pretty well.
Yeah? What's been going on in your wonderful life the last
not much.
Few weeks? It's sometimes really hard to get you to talk about stuff.
There's nothing to talk about.
So what did you do today, other than podcasting right now?
Went to go see Solo again.
Yeah.
Third time
we saw Solo. What did you think about it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah?
It gets better the more we watch it, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's fun. It's a ton of fun, man.
It's sort of like Last Jedi. I watched it the first time. I'm like, all right, that was good. Second time, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really good. Then the third time, I'm just like, wow, this is a really fun movie.
Why do you think it's improving with age? In your opinion, the more you watch it.
Well, I mean, you're able to take in more details. There's little things that you may not have noticed on the first and second viewing. So you just notice little more little things and little interconnections that you wouldn't have seen before. And you just kind of sit back in your chair and you're like, this is just a good movie.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, BB Nate? What do you think? You've seen it three times now. Has it gotten better for you each time? Or?
Well, since the first time, I said it's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
And so doesn't necessarily get better. I just seem to enjoy it more and more every time. But it just kind of, I notice it, and I notice different things that I didn't notice the first or second time that I watch it. So I do find other things in the movie, but it's not like it's getting better for me. So.
Okay. That's cool.
What about you?
I'm going to be transparent and say that the second time we watched it, which the showing began at 11:45 p.m. I was a little bit out of it, tired, and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like, it was just sort of, we watched a movie at 1 in the morning. It was the way it felt. Today, I smiled from the beginning all the way through. I think I think Alden Ehrenreich nailed it. I think he's Han Solo. I think that the thermal detonator scene and some of that stuff like starts it off right. And just the way that he interacts with Kira and his overconfidence is the right word. He's always overconfident. And that is probably one of the best ways to describe Han Solo in the original trilogy is he was always overconfident. Like he's questioning everybody else and whether or not they can do the things, but then he comes up with these crazy schemes.
Right.
And he's my favorite character. I've said it before. So I was concerned about Alden, but I think he's awesome. I think he nailed it. So I had a good time. So, yeah, some other things have been going on in your guys' lives. Nathan, not much with you. You finished up school and... So now you're just sort of hanging out during the week, doing your thing. Sam, you had something different happen.
Yeah, I started my new job.
Yeah, woohoo! Start pulling your own weight around here, man. Paying some bills.
Hey.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just started working at Chick-fil-A. This next week's going to be a little challenging for me, but I think
early mornings, helping open breakfast, basically. So
yeah,
you'll be fine.
But yeah, we'll make it work. So
awesome. Awesome, and we're finishing up fundraising for the end of the year at my work, or the nonprofit I'm helping lead, and so that's taken up a lot of our efforts and time, so, but it's been good, so cool. You guys ready to get into last week's podcast poll of the week?
Let's do it.
All right, so last week's, we wanted to get your thoughts on Solo, A Star Wars Story. What rating did you give the film? I'm trying to remember what you guys gave it. Samuel, do you remember what you gave it? What scale of 1 to 10? 10 being 1 with the Force, 1 being Bantha Poodoo. What would you give it?
Oh, I think I said I think I may have said 7 or 8, but I want to change that to an 8 or a 9.
Okay, cool. Between an 8 and a 9?
7.
8.7. 343. We just go with it, right? Okay. What about you, BB Nate?
I remember I said 10, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you gave it a high score. That's right. I gave it a 9.5. I enjoyed it immensely.
Good.
With it. Let's see what everybody else thought. So 11% of our Twitter participants this week rated it between a 4 and a 6. So 4, 5, or 6, which is okay. 14% only gave it a 1, 2, or a 3. What do you guys think about that?
Boo.
Well, who do you think are the people that are giving it that kind of rating?
Probably, I don't know. I mean, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're probably just hardcore Solo fans, more like Harrison Ford fans. They don't want to see anyone else playing the character other than Harrison Ford, which is totally understandable. But I don't see how you could give it a 1 or anything near that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that these people actually saw this film.
That's fair.
You know, I mean, I get that there are some people that don't like it as much as we do, and that's fine. You're allowed to have that right. But I can't imagine anybody giving it that low of a rating that's actually seen the movie. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I think that different people have different tastes in movies. This one may not have been their type of movie. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. Some movies that you guys liked, I didn't. Some movies that you guys didn't like, I did. So everybody has different type of tastes in movies. Just maybe they didn't think so. So
I don't see it that well of a rating.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it felt like a great Star Wars movie. I think the characterizations were good.
Like,
the plot was good. The story was good. Music was awesome.
Oh yeah, I was just pointing that out. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff, but I don't. I mean, the only way you could give it that rating is if you're a cynic, a Star Trek fan,
or a Star Wars fan,
or just. Someone who just doesn't like the new Star Wars movies, I guess.
Well, then 27% gave it a 10.
Nice.
They're with you,
maybe,
Nate.
Yeah, that's
better.
27% of the people are smart.
And then the vast majority, like running away with it, were 48% gave it between a 7 and a 9 on this. So what that tells me is this. If you take those groups, the 7 through the 10, then you've got basically 75% of people voting in our poll really, really liked this movie, okay? Which is interesting, because if you recall back what Rotten Tomatoes critics score was, we're going to talk about the fan score in a second, but Rotten Tomatoes critics score is in that 71% range,
right,
which is pretty close. We're 75% with our followers, mm-hmm, and our followers tend to be very positive because we cultivate that type of a Twitter feed. So,
right.
So 75% is on that. IMDb rating, 7.2 out of 10.
Yeah.
Seems, and that's critic ratings, right? Metacritic is down. It's down in that 62, but they've only got like 50 ratings on Metacritic. So I don't think that's even reasonable.
Weird.
Fans, it's interesting because fan score dropped all like within the first few days, couple of days. It was down in the 30s and the 40s. And now it's all the way up to 64%. So what that tells me is that there was this concerted effort at the beginning for people that were just that boycott Solo, hate everything Star Wars that Disney does. We want to come out against everything and just sabotage this movie, which is ridiculous. They brought that score way down. And as fans have gotten in there that are not a part of that movement and just started voting based on actually having seen the movie, it's gone up to 64%. I think that that's an interesting thing. I don't think it's an accurate score because I think it's been pulled down by an onslaught of bad voting. But in the end, I think that fans are going to love this. I think over time that this is going to become a very, very popular Star Wars movie. I was sitting there watching it today. You tell me what you guys think about this. I was watching it today, and I thought, this is the kind of Star Wars movie that you can just decide, I want to put in a Star Wars, like, it's out on Blu-ray, right? Or it's out on digital download, and you're like, let's watch a Star Wars movie, and it's an easy one to pick,
yeah,
because it's not heavy, it's not tied into a bunch of, like, a trilogy where you've got, like, different storylines that you've got to feel, mm-hmm, like you have to watch more of the movies. It's a standalone movie.
Yep.
It feels like Star Wars. It's fun from start to finish. Lots of laugh lines. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I agree. It is a great movie. Just all around. Doesn't like, oh, let's watch a Star Wars movie. Let's go pick out a good movie. And so they go to the movie.
So you're upgrading it from just let's watch a Star Wars movie to let's just watch a movie.
And then like go to their local store to get Solo, let's say.
Well, we don't get to watch a ton of Star Wars movies at home.
No.
Because Mom, we do things as a whole family.
Right.
And so Mom doesn't really get into watching Star Wars movies. I have a feeling that she'd be like, occasionally be like, yeah, I'll watch that one.
Because
she enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
So I think that's why, over time, I think this is going to become one of the most loved Star Wars movies. Maybe not the best one. Maybe not the best plot line. Some people will disagree. BB Nate, you loved it. I loved it too. I think The Last Jedi is better. I think that Empire is better.
Right.
But I think in the end, I think that over time, the fandom is going to rise up and they're going to be like, this is a good Star Wars movie. So, go ahead, BB Nate. You go first.
I do think that, yes, it is a very Star Wars movie, and yes, you did say that Last Jedi and Empire Strikes Back are better. But I don't totally agree with that because I think that Solo was a great, just all-around movie. Didn't think of it. I mean, it was a great Star Wars movie, too, but it felt like Star Wars, but I didn't think of it as a Star Wars movie. I thought of it as a fun movie to watch just anytime, and it was a great movie, and that it was one of my favorites for Star Wars.
Awesome. What about
going
you,
back on what you were saying earlier, with it just being let's watch a Star Wars movie, how it's not heavy and not tied into any major plot. You can't really do that with Rogue One.
No.
I mean,
Rogue One takes you. You feel like you have to immediately go into A New Hope when you finish Rogue
right.
One.
Right, and it's just a
and it's
not
heavy.
A lot of humor to it. I mean, K2SO, but it's very heavy. The whole thing, so it's not
Galen Erso being killed. Everybody, all your main characters being killed off.
Yeah,
it's a fun movie. I mean, it's a great Star Wars movie, but it's not a fun one to just plug in.
Right? Yeah, Solo on the other hand is just a lot of fun to watch, like you were saying.
So. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, I think that was that covers last week's poll pretty good. Let's get into our first topic this week. Solo is I hate to say it. Because we just said, we love this movie. But Solo is clearly underperforming at the box office. As of June 1st, 2018, the domestic box office take for the film is only $128 million. Now, just a few weeks ago, the projections had it doing $170 million just in the first weekend. And now we're a full weekend plus on this. So the question that we have to answer is Star Wars in trouble? I'm going to have you go first, BB Nate.
Okay.
Is Star Wars in trouble?
No. I really don't think so. We're talking about Star Wars here. If you think Star Wars in trouble, something is wrong. Either you boycott Solo or you're like just thinking that's just going to go wrong. It didn't really underperform.
Well, no, it did. I mean, it underperformed. They projected $170 million the first weekend.
But
I agree. I did project about that, and the same thing. But just because it went, I know this may sound wrong, but it went $50 million under, doesn't mean that it's not going to go up in the amount of time it happens.
Yeah, but it was projecting opening.
I know.
So
but that's very big for an opening weekend. I don't know. Maybe Force Awakens only hit that problem.
No. Force Awakens got over 200 million. Last Jedi got over 200 million. Both of those were like, they killed it. Rogue One, I don't know. It's a good question. Why don't you keep talking about it and
pull
it up?
This, first of all, Force Awakens got, you just said, over 200 million. So it's a trilogy movie and people enjoyed it. So they wanted to go see Last Jedi. So that's, again, why most of the fans wanted to go see it.
Okay.
But again, so
Rogue One's opening weekend was $155 million.
Mm.
That's what I thought.
So it was higher than Solo.
Yes,
not,
I agree with that. But after the major backlash of Last Jedi, and then people saw that Solo was coming out. They may have been excited, but then the backlash of Last Jedi hit, and then Alden Ehrenreich was announced for Solo. And then the boycott Solo.
Well, Lord Miller getting fired.
Yeah,
and
then the boycott and the whole Alden Ehrenreich needs an acting coach type of stuff. Boycott Solo started to take off. And then people started to lose faith. And then more people did not go to the movie. It's not Star Wars or Disney's fault that fans didn't want to go see it because of certain things about it. And so I just think that that's not right to say that Star Wars is in danger, because it's not. Nobody knows that Star Wars is in danger. They've already said they're making their next anthology movie is what?
Well, they haven't announced the next anthology movie.
That's weird.
There's been tons of rumors about Kenobi, and then there was a Boba Fett idea for a little bit, and everybody started publishing articles saying it was confirmed when it wasn't. There's no confirmed new anthology movie.
But we did hear Episode 9 comes out.
Oh, yeah. Episode 9 is in December 2019.
We have that Game of Thrones director doing that.
Weiss and Benioff.
So that's already three movies. And we have...
Well, they're doing a series of movies. They don't know it's a trilogy.
Oh, okay. So, and then we also have Star Wars series that are coming
out. And Rian Johnson's trilogy.
And Rian Johnson's story. So we have a lot of movies panned out. They just really... They don't have.
So you're not as concerned about Star Wars based on the box office numbers for this week. What about you, Samuel?
Well, I want to first off say why I think that it may be underperforming.
Okay.
I think Nathan touched on this, but I think it was released a little bit too close to The Last Jedi, not just because it was the time, but more because of the backlash of The Last Jedi. I think people that hurt, for lack of a better word, was still pretty present, so they didn't want to go see it. And then there's all that problems, the directors being fired, all of these problems, and it just kind of multiplied and created this perfect storm. So no one really wanted to go see it. I think that's why it underperformed. If it had maybe been released end of this year, it may have done a little better.
It
had more time for Last Jedi to breathe. But do I think Star Wars is in trouble? Not really. It still made a pretty decent take opening weekend. It's going to make more money. So while it was a bit of a letdown, I don't think that's a problem. I do think, though, that Lucasfilm should be careful going forward. I think that they should learn from their mistakes as like releasing them too closely, and then the whole director saying, I think they should just make sure they're more careful about when they're releasing the movies and not to oversaturate the market. I feel like Marvel is starting to kind of oversaturate. They're, what, doing four movies this year? Or is it three movies?
Two movies, actually, this year.
No, they did three. They did Black Panther.
Oh, yeah,
Black Panther.
Which killed it. They did Avengers, which killed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ant-Man and Wasp comes out in a few weeks. So.
But I feel like that Star Wars has to be careful with oversaturation. Because I feel like Marvel's just kind of getting a little... All right, come on.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Marvel, because here are some opening weekend numbers from Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Okay, Ant-Man opening weekend, $57 million. Now, we see, we're trying to compare it with Star Wars, right? And everybody, it's underperforming at $100 million in the opening weekend. So we hear that number, and we think, oh, that's terrible. That was a phenomenal opening weekend when it came out. People never once criticized that opening weekend. Here's another one. Captain America, Winter Soldier, I mean, the First Avenger.
Oh, which is a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it was like right at the beginning of like the big build-up into Infinity and, or excuse me, Avengers, the Avengers movie and stuff. $65 million. Thor, $67 million. Doctor Strange, $85 million. And we talked about that one. So the reality is, these were great hits. Nobody questioned. Nobody was saying, oh, Marvel Cinematic Universe is in trouble. We can't have it. They've blown it. It's a bomb. And all that kind of stuff. Nobody ever considered that. And those movies, did significantly less than Solo did. Solo performed at over $100 million in opening weekend, okay? It was an opening weekend that was chosen with the heart and not with the head. They wanted to release Solo on May 25th, the day that Star Wars originally came out. They got all excited about that idea. They latched onto it, and they probably didn't think about the fact that you were going to have two other really nerd culture driven, geek culture driven movies come out within 3 to 4 weeks before that. You have Avengers Infinity War, which was a massive box office success.
Oh, yeah.
They actually moved it up a week to try to get some distance between it and Solo. And then Deadpool, which is another big geek movie. On the other side of that, in just a couple of weeks from now, Jurassic World is coming out. Another sort of geek movie.
Ant-Man.
So it's sandwiched in here, and then they did a poor job marketing the movie. They had a real hard time getting things out. It's a bad weekend. They need to learn from that mistake. But in the end, it was still a phenomenal success.
Yeah.
And anybody that says anything else is not looking at the numbers from a rational perspective. As far as, I've been saying this for a week now, as far as Disney and Lucasfilm goes, they're not going to overreact like the fans and the media are to this. The fans and the media are like, it's the Titanic sinking. Star Wars is dead. It's the end of the world as we know it. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. Apocalypse for Star Wars. And the reality is, you don't become a mega company like Disney. You don't become a mega company like Lucasfilm by overreacting to things like this. They will look at what they did. They will see how they could do it better. They want to make more money. They wanted to come in at $150-170 million with this. That's what they wanted. They didn't do it. They'll correct. The next one, I guarantee you, comes in at $150-170 million.
Well, Sammy, you're like, it was too close, Lost Jedi. Now that they've kind of gotten your wish, they're like, oh, yeah, he's right. We need to move episode 9 to December. And
well, I think that was originally going to release in December.
Actually, it was going to originally release on your birthday.
Really?
It was going to release on May of next year. And they moved it. That's a really good
point,
DB Nate. Boom. Hold on.
It's true. All of it.
And that deserved a sound effect. Okay. The reality is, you're dead on, and nobody's talking about this right now. So I'm going to have to make sure we send out a tweet about that, because the reality is, originally they were going to open. Disney was going to have Episode 9 release on May 24th, 2019, and they moved it to December. I think they anticipated this was going to happen. They realized there was mistakes in the choosing of the timing, and they moved that one. I think that's – well, and they can use the excuse of the Colin Trevorrow firing.
Right.
As part of that. But I think that they even made the decision to do that before they fired Colin Trevorrow. So
I'm pretty sure they did.
So
yeah, that was
interesting. Good job, BB Nate. Yeah, I'm really pumped that you came up with that, because I wouldn't have thought about that. Awesome. All right. Well, since you're on a roll, BB Nate, why don't you tell all of our listeners how they can help us do these podcasts, because we may need a new microphone. I don't know.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is BB Nate. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast. It's so awesome to think that people enjoy what we do so much that they financially support us so we can do it. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/tatooinesons and watch our welcome videos so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, thank you, BB Nate, for that great
pre-recorded
plug for our Patreon page. He mentioned while we were on there that it should be the happy recruiting office version of the Empire Imperial theme from Solo Star Wars Story going forward. But anyway.
The major key version.
Right. So, all right, so let's do the next topic. Solo is a really fun deep dive into Star Wars lore and legends, and there's lots of Easter eggs in the film. Of course, Darth Maul's appearance and L3 becoming the brains of the Falcon. Thank you, Samuel Lehet, for predicting that.
Gotcha.
Are some of the big ones. But other than those, what are your favorites? Go first, Samuel Lehet.
All right. So, you know, if you didn't notice this, I'll tell you. But in one of the emphasis and whatever emphasis nests game, the Cloud Riders, there was Twin Tubes. One of the Twin Tube brothers.
Okay.
Who they're seen in Rogue One, which is kind of cool. But what was also cool is one of the Cloud Riders was played by Warwick Davis, who's played multiple roles such as
Wicket.
Wicket.
The little Ewok from Return of the Jedi. Right. And BB Nate's one of his favorites.
Yeah, and he plays Weasel in this movie, which is a super vague character, so I'll explain. He's an arms dealer and a gambler shown...
Which episode was that in?
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, episode one.
Yeah, so he was shown on Tatooine for a brief moment in the crowd. He was shown, I think...
During what?
The podcast. Pod Race. He was shown, like, a couple times. And you see him a lot more prominently in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, he's the cool guy with the rocket launcher.
Yeah, it's awesome. And he's also the one that he's got the mask on,
when
and he's kind of
table.
Spying on Han and Chewie and Kira.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of cool, and it's also even cooler because if you didn't know the story, I'm not going to go super in detail with it, but it's on our website, and you've probably heard it before. But long story short, I was in my Jabba the Hutt costume, and Warwick Davis. Helped me recreate the scene from A New Hope Special Edition, and he walked behind me and stepped on my tail like Han does to Jabba. So I keep going around the same whenever I see him. You know, he stepped on my tail, which is cool because I'm probably the only person on the planet who can say that. So that's probably why that was one of my most favorite Easter eggs.
Yeah, that was a fun scene.
Yeah.
From it. What about you, BB Nate? What is your one of your favorite Easter eggs from Solo: A Star Wars Story?
The fertility idol from the opening scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, so you got to explain the scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark because
Well, at the beginning, they're going through and he's with his team, and there's these people chasing him, and so he goes into this temple, and he goes and he, you know, the iconic scene where he grabs the idol and
he switches it out with
the
sand. Okay,
and
changes the golden idol.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Yeah, I can see him, like, doing it, weighing it out. He takes a little sand out because he thinks it's not the right weight.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it falls down.
Which is cool because it's Harrison Ford, who plays Han Solo. So,
and
anyway.
It's his dreams in carbonate.
Yeah, that's if you guys haven't heard that, that's one of the theories. Is it a theory or is it a comic book, a Legends comic book?
No, it's a theory.
Okay. A theory is that, that's right, the Legends thing was different. Okay.
Yeah.
The theory is that the Indiana Jones series of movies are actually Han Solo's dreams while he's frozen in carbonite.
Which would explain why that idol might be in the movie, because he
along
sees
with
it.
Like the crystal skull and stuff from the Temple of Doom.
He saw it because he saw it in Dragon Boss's office or whatever.
That's very interesting.
That's where he could have gotten the idea. And also, a major clue or whatever for this theory is. It's Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's some hieroglyphs.
Okay.
And one of the hieroglyphs is 3PO and R2-D2.
And when we were at Disneyland for Star Wars Day, we rode Raiders of the Lost Ark, or the Indiana Jones thing.
Like fun,
and right? What was that? It was like Camp Obi-Wan was the name of the camp.
Yeah!
I think that's part of the story, too.
It was like delivered at Camp Obi-Wan.
Camp Obi-Wan, yeah.
Which is So maybe they're playing with us on this stuff. This is kind of a cool idea.
I don't see why it couldn't be a fun idea to go with, or it could be canon or headcanon. We'll go with it's our.
We can make it our little headcanon. We can, because then we could say we were watching the Indiana Jones movies and those are Star Wars movies.
Right.
So
now we have people over or we watch the Star Wars.
We can do a Star Wars marathon. We can insert four movies between
five
and six.
Yeah.
Episodes five
we
and six.
Leave out Crystal Skull. That's
kind of
cool.
That's a good point.
We can leave out Crystal Skull. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. They're aliens.
Well, I'm telling you, it's weird. Actually, I think that Crystal Skull, if I'm not mistaken, actually comes from like a Han Solo adventure book that came out in like 1980. There was this Crystal Skull alien creature that was in it. But that's still okay because it still connects
a little bit
to this. And so
weird.
It's bizarre.
Got off on a tangent.
That's okay. That's cool. So, awesome.
Cool. And what about you, Dad? What was your favorite Easter egg?
I don't know if that's necessarily my favorite Easter egg. I would say my favorite Easter egg isn't really an Easter egg. It's more of something I noticed when we watched it on the second viewing. I double-checked on the second viewing to make sure I was accurate. So you see when Han goes to the Dryden Voss's, what is it, sail barge or yacht or whatever that is, his yacht, and he reconnects with Kira for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
She's got this necklace on. That's half of the brand or the symbol for Crimson Dawn.
Right.
She's got that brand on her wrist, and it's half of that. And then we see the other half
of the necklace.
Of that necklace, or at least the other half of the symbol, when we see the hologram of Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just weird to me, because I've watched it now twice to double check this, and that's those are the only two people that wear that necklace that you see that. In the entire thing. Dryden Voss has the ring.
Mm-hmm.
We see that. We know that. But as far as the necklace goes, it's a possibility it's two halves of the same necklace or the same symbol broken between the two of them. I don't know. I just think that there's a whole lot of weirdness going on there with the Darth Maul thing, and I think there's more to the story between Darth Maul and Kira than we let on. But that's not an Easter egg, but that's like one of those moments that you're like, what the heck that's going on there. I would say my favorite... what I think is one of the most interesting Easter eggs was that L337, the droid, Lando's droid, mentions to Lando that he couldn't get back when they're leaving
the card,
the Sabacc game in the middle of the movie and getting ready to go get on the Falcon to go on the Kessel Run.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking out, and L3 mentions to Lando that he couldn't get to Black Spire
without
her. And then Kira comments in the movie on making sure that Doke Ondar, I can't pronounce it when I'm looking at it here in my notes, but he's a guest of Dryden's that's in the yacht thing, is taken care of. So there's those two characters, Black Spire is mentioned, and this Doc Ondar is mentioned. And both are references to Star Wars Galaxies. Edge, the new in the Disney parks, the one that's in Disney World and Disneyland and Magic Kingdom. Black Spire is the name of a village on Batuu that is going to be central to Galaxy's Edge. And Doke Ondar is an Ithorian collector who's been announced to have had a role at Galaxy's Edge. Ithorian.
Don't worry about it.
I want to. So, what do you guys think about that? The idea that they did this also with the Thrawn book that's coming up. They mentioned Batuu.
Oh, yeah.
On the Thrawn book.
They've
so
done that a few times.
They are like making this part of Galaxy's Edge. They are weaving into canon
as much as possible.
Already, what do you guys think about that?
I like it. It makes it. It'll feel even more like you're part of a Star Wars universe. Because if they hadn't woven it into anything, you could be like, oh, that's cool. You know, we're in Star Wars. It feels Star Wars-y, but it's not really part of anything. Now that they're weaving it in the fabric of Star Wars all over the place, it's going to feel a lot different when you go in there. But they're not overdoing it, so you can experience the story for yourself as opposed to...
Yeah, they're not telling us the story of Batuu. They're not telling us the story of the Black Spire. They're not telling us the story of this Doke Ondar guy. But they are mentioning them so that when you go to Galaxy's Edge and you start engaging in the experience of being there, you will things will be familiar. You'll have heard L3 mentioned Black Spire. You'll have heard Thrawn and Darth Vader talk about Batuu. Mm-hmm. You'll have heard about this Doe Gondor guy.
So it'll be
and so now you go into that land and you're a part of it. What do you think about that idea, BB Nate?
It's interesting how they weave it in and they put it in the canon. We did know that this land was going to be canon, everything in it. But I know this may be a little bit off topic, but it's still about Galaxy's Edge. I feel like they're going to make Galaxy's Edge feel like Cars Land in California Adventure. They totally make you feel like you're in Radiator Springs.
Yeah,
when you're with cars.
They did that really well.
Yeah, they did it really well, but I think they're going to do it even more. From what I understand, I don't know, I've never been there, I don't know much about it, but Avatar Land at Animal Kingdom in Disney in Orlando is supposed to be like a even more intense of a immersive experience, I guess is the way of thinking of it, of the Avatar world. And that's cool. And if you like the movie Avatar, fine. But Star Wars is not the same as Cars. And Star Wars is not the same as Avatar.
I know.
And when you go and if you land, basically feel like you're landing on Batuu and you're experiencing these things, and you guys were talking about you can fail on the mission with the Millennium Falcon and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I agree. But what I'm just saying is I didn't know that some of the restaurants that they're going to have in Galaxy's Edge are going to have is going to be cantinas.
Yeah.
And they're going to have animatronic bands that are...
And they're encouraging people to wear costumes to come.
Oh, cool.
It'll be... I know you said that you want to feel like you're landing on Batuu, and this may be a totally weird thing, but it would be cool if you could go, like, the entrance is a little bit higher up, so maybe...
As you're walking down, you can, like,
you're, like, walking down, so you see the space, and then you see, like, the planet, and then right as you get in, it opens up, and...
They may be able to do that in Worlds, but from what we've seen in Land, it's basically you're just going to kind of walk in.
Which is fine.
Which is, no, yeah, it's, you know,
perfectly
awesome.
Fine. But it's going to be hard to get onto.
Well, I understand that, like, they're having these hotels and these resorts that are all themed, a fully immersive theme.
And
you will get on, a themed transport vehicle that's themed like Star Wars with character-driven tour guides and stuff. And they're going to take you on a shuttle to straight into Galaxy's Edge or Batuu. And it'll feel like that, you know. So maybe even Star Tours, like take you to Star Tours, and then you come out of Star Tours, and you come out of Star Tours and come into Galaxy's Edge, at least in Florida, I think, I've heard they're going to do that.
Yeah, the resorts and hotels are only in Disney World.
Because there's more space.
Right.
That's very cool. Awesome.
That's a bucket list thing for me.
Absolutely. And while you're talking about your bucket list, we need some funding to help us get to things like Galaxy's Edge and tell you guys all about it. So, Samuel, why don't you give our amazing, awesome listeners a little info on how they can help support the podcast.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Samuel the Hutt. Thanks for listening to Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. BB Nate and I love talking about Star Wars with our dad, and we couldn't do it without the faithful support of our friends on Patreon. If you're not a Patreon supporter, please head on over to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video so you can learn more about how important it is for us to have your support. May the Force be with you.
All right, the opening of Solo. It is an emotionally charged scene where Han and Kira, his true love, and at watching the third time, he like is like all into her. She's into him. Anyway, they get separated, and Han then goes and joins the Empire in order to learn how to fly so he can come back and save her. And she's captured and taken off. And eventually we know she ends up becoming a part of Crimson Dawn. So I guess for our what if segment this week, I thought, well, let's figure out what would happen if they switched places.
I want to go home and rethink my life.
All right, so Samuel the Hutt, what would happen? What if they switched places? What if Kira got through at the checkpoint, the transition point there, and Han was the one that was captured? How would the story have gone?
This one's tough to figure out. We know that Kira loves Han, and it's true. It's
all the way through this movie, even.
Yeah, it's not even a fake. Like, she's into him, he's into her, so the feeling's definitely mutual. She's not just in it for personal gain.
Right. Yeah, I don't think she's manipulating him.
Mm-mm, no, not that early on. Part of me wants to think that she would try to find a way to come back. I'm not sure that it would be through the same means, but I mean, it's easy for me to say that she becomes the female version of Han Solo. She goes to the academy, she learns how to fly, she gets in with the crew.
And, yeah, but that's not her character.
Right. So it's just, it's, we don't know a lot about her, so we don't really know what actions she would take. I just don't know.
Well, we do know more about her, though. Think about it this way.
I don't know.
BB Nate, what do you, you got, you're looking at me like he's giving me the I got something to say wink.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. I got nothing.
Well, I think she wouldn't come back for Han.
Ow.
Because she does know something. She did say that, she said, if they took you, you went, and if they took you, they would have killed you. And that's what she already expected if they took him. And so she probably would think that they killed him and wouldn't come back and would just try to go on with her life.
And you're on a roll today.
Because I was thinking about that because you told me about these topics earlier this morning. And we're watching the movie and I was thinking that would work because she would probably think that they would have killed him because he was the one that double-crossed. And so she probably would not come back.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
But do their paths ever cross again?
Well, but I guess we have to wonder if... Okay, let's think about what happens with Han, because we talked with Kira then. Right. What do you think... How do you think Han would have handled himself? Okay, so the door closes, the Corellian... The dogs of Corellia are coming at him, the stormtroopers, the Lady Proxima's goons, they come, and instead of them taking Kira away, they're taking Han away. He's not Han Solo at this point. He's just Han. So the first thing we know is he doesn't probably ever become Han Solo. He just stays Han. At this point, just like Kira seems to have just stayed
Kira
at this point. No last name, which I think is interesting too because Rey doesn't have a last name. But anyway, that's another story. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that. But anyway, so Han, if we follow him in character, they're going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
And I think Kira's right.
Because he wouldn't take it because he said that I'm done getting pushed around. The next time someone hits me, I'm going to hit the bat.
Right. And so, I mean, this has been a big moment. But Han, I'm going to jump all the way from Solo A Star Wars Story in the timeline, the chronology, all the way to Force Awakens. And he's there on his transport with Chewie and the Rathtars, and they've just retaken the Millennium Falcon, and then you've got Kanja Club on one side, and they're talking to him about double crossing, and he's talking his way out of this, and that's what he does. He finds a way to weasel his way out of these things and talk his way out of these things. So I'm going to predict that Han survives this. He finds a way to talk his way out of this because Kira found a way to do the same thing.
Sort of. Okay. She's still in the life, but a better situation.
So do you think that Han starts getting sucked into the whole underworld, the syndicates, the crime syndicates, the Crimson Dawn world, all that kind of stuff? What do you think about that?
Unwillingly, yes. But I think that in the back of his mind, he's got a plan or he's working out a plan to find a way out and get to Kira.
I think that he does want to get to Kira if he survives. But I think, no, he does not get pulled into the life of, like, let's say, Crimson Dawn. Because, then again, we do see that Dragon Boss has some type of relationship with Kira.
Yeah.
Like, he likes her kind of type of stuff. But with Han, we don't know what happened with Kira. We don't know what she did. He said that she has done terrible things. But we don't know what Han would do. He would probably do the same thing that he did, enjoy the Imperial Navy, or try to play Sabacc and try to win ships, or be gambling, or win ships, or go in races, and like still try to get to Kira. But he's still there wondering. He maybe still be a Kira. This could be another thing he's doing. Waiting in Corellia for Kira to come back.
No, I don't think he's going to wait for Kira. I think that you've got the right idea, though. I think that we know from this movie that Han's sole purpose, regardless of which side of that barrier he's on, is to get to Kira. He loves Kira, and all he wants is to get to her. And all, I mean, 3 years later in this movie, he's stuck on this Mimban planet, in the infantry in this massive battle, and he finds a way to get off that planet with Beckett and Val and Rio, and his only motivation for doing that is to make some cash to get a ship. Or credits. You know, I was just talking like Terrell Owens.
It's
anyway,
cool.
Yeah. Street cash, homie. Sorry. Anyway. He's going to get credits so he can get a ship so he can get to Kira. Mm-hmm. And then he sees Kira, and all he wants to do is figure out how to get that ship and for him and Kira to get out of there. And that's his whole motivation. So if he's stuck with the Empire, he's captured by Lady Proxima's goons and all this other stuff, and he does find a way to talk himself out of it, which that fits his character too. He's going to find a way to talk himself out of this situation. His whole motivation is to figure out how to get off Corellia and find Kira. So I think that whether he's not going to join the Empire or become a pilot, I don't think any of that, but I think that his motivations are the same. What is Kira's motivation? We know Solo's or Han's motivation is to get to Kira. What is Kira's motivations?
Stay alive.
Yeah, exactly. Becca did say she's a survivor, and she will probably try to stay alive as long as she can. And if Han is still alive and they cross paths somehow, then she'll be happy. Right. But she's not expecting that.
Yeah,
she's trying to go on with her life.
It's probably a good reason as to why she didn't actually follow Han, because she knew that Maul was going to chase her down and kill her. So she's a survivor. She chose living over Han at that point.
That's interesting. I think that we understand the characters if you understand that Kira being a survivor, like Beckett said, and Han being passionate about her, mm-hmm. that they're going to connect again somewhere down the road, but it's not because Kira came back for Han. Kira's moved on because she's trying to survive, just like she did in this movie, mm-hmm. and Han is going to figure out how to get off that planet and find Kira,
yeah.
because that's his motivation in this movie. But it would have been a very different story.
Oh, totally different.
A lot of fun, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Awesome. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
Yeah. Well, there's been this rumored Star Wars game coming out for a while. Well, no, actually, no. This is a brand new.
Yeah, in the last few months.
A newer rumor mm-hmm. of a Destiny-style Star Wars game. Now, if you don't know what Destiny is, I'm going to throw out some gamer terms here. It's an FPS RPG. In English, that means it's a first-person shooter, like Call of Duty or Star Wars Battlefront, mixed with an RPG, which is Knights of the Old Republic, the Old Republic, things like that. So they merge the two. So there's a rumored Star Wars version of the Destiny game coming out.
So the same feel as Destiny.
Right, so basically they're going to take Old Republic and Battlefront and merge the two, which I would find awesome because I'm just starting getting back into Destiny and learning that this is a really fun game. So a Star Wars version of that would be perfect.
And also it's an MMO. A massively multiplayer online.
Right, well, that comes with the territory of an RPG.
So so my understanding is it's got like a campaign mode, and mm-hmm. then so it goes from campaign into MMO, campaign, MMO. That's what I understand that this
Well, MMO kind of merges with it. The goal of an RPG is to complete missions with other players. Other players are always around you throughout the game. You're in lobbies, they're with you. You can quickly go up to someone and ask them, hey, I need some help on this mission. Usually they'll say yes. I don't do that very much. But, I mean, I do play with my actual friend, but I don't do it with random people. But that's definitely a option, and it's a strong selling point of the RPG MMO verse. So a Star Wars version of that would be a lot of fun. So, yeah, I'm kind of hoping that would be a thing, but I'm not too confident.
That's pretty cool. What about you, BB Nate? Anything else?
The episode 9 working title was changed from Black Diamond to Trixie.
Yeah, the IX, though, or capital IX. So,
it's like Roman numeral 9, which is episode 9, which is kind of cool.
But why Trixie?
Yeah.
It's such a weird name. Sounds like something to do with more of a fantasy movie, like it's a fairy or
no,
a pixie or something.
Cereal.
You think of Trix the cereal? Trix it for kids, silly rabbit. Well, what do you think about that? Because explain to BB Nate, explain why it was understood that the title was Black Diamond.
Well, it's on Snoke's left hand? Was it left or right? Yeah, left hand.
Before he got Skywalker.
Yeah, he got Skywalker.
Got his arms cut off.
He had a black diamond ring, but it was later confirmed that was from a lava.
The obsidian underneath Vader's castle.
It's from under on Mustafar, which is cool.
Which is kind of really cool, but...
So they've changed it from Black Diamond, which seemed to tie into Mustafar, seemed to tie into Snoke, seemed to tie into that whole thing. What? BB-8.
BB-8
just did that face. And he's on a roll tonight, so we gotta let him go.
And his Skywalker is Snoke.
No.
Oh, gosh. No, he had arms. He had legs. He couldn't be Snoke.
You never know.
You never know. Okay.
Like, the gravity and everything from space remade some
The advancements in back to time.
Yes, and so it remade his arms
that's
and his legs.
That's why he's scarred and stuff.
Yeah, that's why he's scarred, and he stayed alive, and he
grew a few feet.
Yeah, he grew a few feet. Two of them, specifically.
But anyway.
Whatever! Well, what do you think Trixie is?
I don't know. I feel like I've heard that.
Maybe DJ will have a more prominent role because he's a bit of a trickster.
I mean, I'm trying to look here. A T-R-I-E, because the 9 in the middle of it, the Roman numeral 9s. I'm trying to see if the T-R and the I-E mean anything.
Try.
Tree.
Tree.
Yeah, that's weird.
Tree.
Nah,
tree. They're going to go back to Endor.
It's weird.
Yeah. I don't know. That's really weird. It doesn't give us anything.
In Star Wars.
But then again, wasn't
sure
episode 6 called, like, Blue Harvest or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, in The Last Jedi was Space Bear.
Yeah.
So, maybe they decided to do that to avoid the whole Your Snoke Theory Sucks thing happening all over again. So
crazy.
Interesting.
And what about you?
Well, this is important. And if you're listening to this part of the podcast, then you're a diehard fan. You listen all the way to the very end, and that means that you probably follow us on Twitter, and you probably have at least some activity on the Twitter Star Wars family. And if that's the case, then you know our friend Neil Lowry.
Cool.
And Neil Lowry is from England, Great Britain, and he is the deacon of Star Wars personality. he is like the most positive Star Wars fan in history. And he fights for keeping Star Wars positive versus the sort of negative nastiness that has existed for a long time in the Star Wars world, but especially in social media and Twitter and things like that. And he's been awesome. And he retweets, likes and retweets every tweet that we put out. And not just us, but probably another 30 or 40 Twitter accounts. He does the exact same thing with. And he is a Patreon supporter of, I would say, probably a half dozen podcasts, and he has his own podcast called Blow That Negativity Out of the Sky, his own little podcast that he does, and he has never had a chance to be at Star Wars Celebration, and he really wants to go, and so I think, like it is for a lot of us, the thing that's going to hold us back from being able to get to Celebration is not a desire to go, it's about access to funds to cover the expenses.
Yeah.
And he has set up a GoFundMe page, and it's going to be in the show notes tonight for this episode. And we are going to make it our own personal goal. Whether or not we make it to Star Wars Celebration is not as much of a concern right now for us. We really want to go, and we're hoping we can go, and we're going to try to. And there's a lot of conversations among the Star Wars Commonwealth podcast network of ways to get everybody together and as many people as possible. We're really hoping to go.
Yeah.
But if we had to trade spots with Neil so Neil could come in, I would trade spots with Neil. So the link to his GoFundMe page is going to be in our show notes. We're going to ask you guys, go give $1, give $5, give $10, give something like that. We're going to make a gift to help cover that. And we would ask you guys to join with us and then share this with other people. Get the word out. Let's see if we can raise, you know, $500 or $1,000 through the to support the guy that has supported us,
and
supported you guys, and let's see if we can't get him to Star Wars Celebration to help make a dream come true. So, what do you guys think about that idea?
I think that that is a necessity. This guy is so cool, like one of the coolest guys you'll ever know. And Celebration, it's like indescribable, or whatever the word is. I mean,
yeah.
It's an amazing experience, and he deserves to go more than anyone. That guy is so cool. He needs to go.
And he would have been nice to have him at last Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool to be able to see him.
Yeah.
First of all, it would have been cool to see him. And second of all, the whole thing, everybody was negative, everybody was angry.
Well, I mean, that was...
Need a positive guy at Star Wars Celebration, because there are so many negative people. With the backlash to Last Jedi and Solo right now, we need positive people.
Yeah.
And so, if he can get to Star Wars Celebration, that would make his dream and make everybody else's day at Star Wars Celebration.
I think Star Wars Celebration will be better for having Neil Lowry there. So,
yeah.
Help us help Neil get there.
Oh, yeah.
Pay it forward to him. So, thanks, guys. All right, I guess we should do our podcast poll for next week.
Ready, aim, and fire!
All right, it's pretty easy. We talked about it at the beginning of the episode. We want to hear what you guys have to think about it. So why is Solo underperforming at the box office? Could it be, number one, bad time of the year? Number two, too soon after The Last Jedi? Number three, the boycott Solo movement? Or number four, give us your idea?
I think my response was 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. So let us know what you guys think. In fact, that podcast poll went up earlier today. So I've got well over 100 votes already. And so we think it's going to be a really popular conversation. There's about 40 comments already on it as well. Lots of good comments, lots of good thoughts. And then a couple that I should probably delete, but that's okay. Well, I think that's it. Anything you got to say to the fans before you let them go?
Yeah. May the force be with you guys.
Help Neil get to Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. May the force be with you, and it will be if you help Neil get to Star Wars Celebration.
Are you brainless?
I never ask that question till after I've done it.
We're smarter than this.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.